My name is Lorraine of D32 Business Network, and I am really excited to share this conversation today with Peter Butler of Smarter Websites. But first of all, how are you, Peter?
I am well. Good to be on the call with you, Lorraine.
Yeah, it is. And what we're sharing with people today are all the nuances that we had to go through to move our website. Right? And we're going to share with people all the things that we need to consider. If you're moving a website, if you're shifting a domain name, if you're doing a refresh, because we would have hit everything that a website could have hit, right?
Yeah.
So first of all, I'll just say the main reason, there was two main reasons we decided to move a website and do a bit of a refresh. One was the load speed on our existing website was absolutely ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
So it was shocking. And then the other reason was we moved from being District 32 to being D32 Business Network, which was a brand refresh, a name change. So we needed to move the site onto the new URL or the new domain. So what we're going to share with everybody who's listening today was all the issues that we came across and what we need to look out for as business owners. Because Peter said something really important before we even come on here today was the importance of future-proofing your business and how important your website is in that. So, Peter, over to you.
Yeah. Look, it's absolutely valid. And there's sort of two things you mentioned there, Lorraine. Number one was the site speed of District 32. Because if a website doesn't load quick enough, you're going to run into problems with Google and with people. Because we're an impatient lot. They're just not going to wait. If it doesn't load in 3 seconds, you're gone. Some of the pages were actually taking 26 seconds to load and having whiteouts where the page just goes white. And it's ridiculous. But why? I mean, the hosting was dedicated server hosting, SSD, solid state drive, 64 gig of RAM. So all of those, it should not have been happening. But it's because along the way, different webbies have put in their favorite tools, and it became like a Jenga stack with all these different tools stacked out. And if we wanted to change one thing, you know, the whole Jenga block would come down. So when it came to the redesign, the refresh, we couldn't even use the existing, we call it a tool stack. So it's all the tools we use. Websites are built with tools, sort of like, well, they're plugins, but it's sort of like apps on your phone. So the same thing, but there was conflicting plugins, and this was causing load speed time issues. And then to redesign, it was just an absolute nightmare. So we had to go back to ground zero. And so you've got to make sure that you pick the right tool stack, the right tools. Now, I know that's a little bit of techie talk and people, well, how do I know? So, you know, it's one of the things that we pride ourselves on, and anybody that knows me knows that I'm a total geek and don't compromise on that.
Well, what I really enjoyed, though, Peter, what I appreciated was the fact that just being told, look, rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
It needs to be done, right?
Yes.
Don't bother, like the previous provider was, you know, you pay money to have patches, you know, and they just don't work. And I was like, you know, so I really appreciated that. Like, let's sort it, let's fix it and get it done.
And we're, you know, really transparent. We were working with your team and showing them that in the event section, when they loaded an event, there was this part of the event was using a particular tool, website building tool, and this part of the event was using a different tool. So they're conflicting with each other, and it's like there, you don't even have to be techie to know that that's not going to work. So it was that transparency that then sort of formulated, okay, what's the plan? And the thing is, with future-proofing your business, putting aside the District 32 scenario, you know, one thing business owners need to consider is future-proofing. Okay, when you want to make a change to the website, are you able to do that? Is there support for doing that? You've got to consider those things because you don't want to be beholden to an agency. And that's where, you know, we have video tutorials built in. We want to empower business owners. You want to add a section to your website. You want to change this. No problems at all. And we give support for that. You've got to make sure that that's easily available for you to be independent as a business owner. You want the agency there to do things for you if you need help. Absolutely. So, yeah, those are the things that need to be considered.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But a lot can go wrong when you're doing the upgrade. And I've seen this over the years. Like, look, we've been in the space 18 years, so you don't see, you see a lot in that time. You know, we've seen some horror stories where we've built a website, we've done SEO, we've got the website ranking and all of those. And should I do screen sharing? I can show people. So one of the things that we consider is, and I'll just share my screen and show people the actual keyword rankings for District 32. Not there, not there. There. There you go. So this is showing us, if we go up here, you can see District 32. I'm using one of our SEO tools. There's a lot of them, common one. And it's showing us that the ranking of District 32 has 325 keywords ranking. And so we're rebuilding the website using our tool stack. But what's going to happen when it actually goes live, if we don't follow certain best practices, certain SEO best practices, we can crash that. We can burn that. And I've seen it where I've had websites ranking with 55 keywords and a lot of other numbers. And then within 3 months of them going live, the web designers did not consider SEO. They haven't taken across the keyword data. They haven't followed best practices as far as page name protocols. And they've gone from 55 keywords ranking to two keywords ranking or four keywords ranking. It's just literally killed the
Yeah,
business.
that was a big concern for me moving over, you know, when we were having the meetings around what is going to happen to that, because it takes 10 years. It's taken us 10 years to get to there, and to have that impacted is would have been a major
Oh,
concern.
it's crazy. And the thing is that business owners don't even know to look at this because all they're looking at, right, is the visual. Okay, this was my site and I wanted to do a refresh, and that's valid, you know, thinking that's fine. But you're better off staying in the platform and working through it coherently. So I've seen all of the keywords taken from a site. I've seen sites with Facebook pixel tracking, boom, it's gone, and they have no idea that all of this historical data's gone, and they've literally killed, you know, 2 years, 5 years worth of keyword rankings overnight. So the other thing, getting back to the tool stack, and this is a hard one for business owners, and I really appreciate this because they're not techie. Look, when we first started years ago, we only did premium sites, and I had people, you know, coming to us, heard about a reputation, wanted to do business with us, but couldn't afford the premium site. So then we came up with a smarter series, which is a more budget conscious startup series model. And then when a person wants to then get higher, better results from the website or upgrade, they only ever pay the difference. And so that's a really good model. It means that the business owner knows that they're future-proofed. Yeah. Now, when we started 18 years ago, one of the things we had to make sure of was we chose the right tools to use. And I'll show you this. This is an interesting platform, W3 Techs. So this is tracking every website on the planet, right? And it shows what they're built in. So when we started, WordPress was one of the considerations, and it had a 10% market share 18 years ago. Joomla had an 11% market share, slight edge. And so we decided on WordPress, the reason being that it's fully extendable. It doesn't matter what you want to do in the future, whether you want to have e-commerce and further development and extra plugins and apps and things like that, WordPress can handle it. And so it's gone to, well, nearly 44% market share. Now, you don't go with WordPress just because it's the most popular, but it is a solid platform and it is fully extendable. So there's so much you can do with it. And you can see Joomla's dropped. Now, the other reason, because it has such big market share, there's tens of thousands of developers developing different tools and plugins to extend its usability. So it really is a solid platform. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And we need room to move, you know. I mean, we're always looking at development, you know, we're looking to develop different things for you know, different pages and ways that potential franchisees can have their events on there. So it needs to be adaptable for us. It needs to be Yeah, open.
Absolutely. So the so trying to work through the District 32 site, and I'll just go to that now. What we found was that the header area was built using one tool, and right down the very bottom, the footer was built using a different tool.
Just to make it interesting, Peter.
Oh, you're right. And then in between, it was like a lucky dip. It really was. There was various contact form software. It was just it's a jumble. So we're now developing that, with so it's currently, still showing the district32.com.au. So we're rebuilding the site on the new URL, and we're sort of integrating that with your CRM as well.
Which is very exciting, might I add?
Absolutely. Look, and it's going to load quick. I mean, the aesthetics are going to be so much nicer. But what's going to happen too is ongoing. Your team are now going to be empowered to make edits. I mean, we're there to support you when you need it, but your team are very competent and capable, and we're there to support them, and they'll be able to jump in and make changes and updates. Because the thing is, a website is never finished. And this is one of the mistakes I see people do. It is they think that when it goes live, that's the end of the journey. It's actually almost the beginning, because you've got to stay on top of, has your business evolved? Has your focus of services changed? Is there something new that needs to be shared? I mean, there's so much I could talk about here with content marketing, with SEO, with social media. There's so many things to consider. Your website is your hub. Social media is to get traffic. SEO is to get better rankings and more traffic from Google. But your website's got to contain engagement points. It has to have calls to action. You've got to have prompts to get people to reach out. I mean, if we look at my website as a very short example, that's not it. Let's bring up my website. There we go. That's an offer to do an audit, which I'll share at the end. But look at the different engagement points. Having a chat function with a CRM is absolutely vital, because somebody might not be ready to talk to you, but they want information in a timely manner. And that's what a chat will do. Other people just want to pick up the phone, but these are integrated with a CRM. So the calls are recorded, the contacts details are entered in the CRM. So we have no leads falling through the cracks. You want to qualify your clients so you can have forms on your website. So these are the things that need to be considered. Lead magnets, still absolutely valid now, 18 years on. So they're things that people need to consider, and you might not be able to have all these things when your website goes live. But if you add one thing every quarter or every 6 months, you're continually evolving your website and improving your marketing. We're all building machines. That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're all customer journey. We call, user experience aspects that people need to consider and continually evolve.
Yep, and I think again, just looking at ours and speaking to yours was just there wasn't a good customer journey there. There were various different calls to action. It wasn't streamlined. It wasn't talking to the website, and it was taking 26 seconds for a page to load. It was like, mumbo jumbo.
And it can become like that over time, because what happens, the reality is, we go back to your website, it evolves. I mean, I can remember having conversations with you regarding the points of difference, right? Remember that? Probably about a year ago now, we were defining that, I think, in the pamphlet material. And then that was okay, that's in the pamphlets. Let's now bring that across to the website. And so, that was inserted there. That made total sense. But at the moment, you're working with a copywriter to reframe the whole customer journey when somebody comes. And so this will all be redesigned with that new user experience customer journey in mind, because and it happens. There's nothing wrong with doing things ad hoc. It's just sometimes you need to get back to ground zero to make sure that everything is in alignment and you're giving that ideal customer journey.
So what else did you want to say around that, Peter? So we were talking about, the domain change, the SEO, And what other things did you have to solve with moving us across?
Well, District 32 is next level, or D32 Business Network is absolutely next level, which is quite daunting, to be frank, because we're not changing the URL here. We're changing that to be D32 Business Network, but there's also a whole heap of subdomains. Now, that's quite unusual and only generally applies to high-level business where there's a subdomain like events.d32 and
Offers and
various, So that's a lot to consider. And then there's the total integration with the CRM as well as the events. But one of the blessings was that you integrate the events now through, what is it? What is it? Humanetics.
Humanetics,
Yep. And the other thing you took off was, oh, you built the membership platform and the courses in the CRM, not on the website. Now that's actually helped take the load off the website, so which is fantastic. Something else I'll point out doesn't really apply to your model. You're using for emails, you're using Microsoft Exchange. And one thing I don't recommend is having your domains hosted on the website. You still have your email, your first name at your domain name, but route them through either Google themselves or Microsoft Exchange is my favorite, but you're either a Google person or a
Same with
Microsoft
you as
person. Yeah,
Microsoft.
either way, doesn't matter. Same as Apple to PC. But yeah, domain-hosted emails are sort of null and void because they hog up a lot of space. Emails evolve. And Microsoft Exchange, by the way, has 50 gigabytes of storage, whereas most email hosting only has 1 gigabyte, and you're able to send large email attachments and so forth. That also makes then the transition of when you upgrade your website, moving hosting and things like that, a lot smoother, a lot simpler, because yeah, the emails are housed somewhere else. So the other thing is that we're building the new site on our new server. So we actually run four servers. We've got two servers in Perth, two servers in Sydney. One thing that most people don't even consider is their domain is mostly hosted on shared hosting environments with thousands of other business owners, and it's not the ideal situation. Websites get hacked. It's sort of like the elephant in the room. People don't talk about it. Webbies mostly don't talk about it because they don't, want to scaremonger or appear they might not have it, things right. But websites do. I mean, look, if Sony got hacked in 3 times in as many months, then and they got a high-level tech team, any website can get hacked. And what most people don't realize is that they think that their website won't be hacked. Oh, I'm just a small business. They won't target my website. Well, actually, you're a prime target. They will target your website because generally they can get in a lot easier than a high-level website. Why would they hack? Well, two reasons. They can send out spam emails from your domain, tens of thousands. We had it happen to a rather large furniture company in Perth that had three separate locations, so multi-million dollar organization. They had a very simple password. I think it was admin 123 or something as silly. We warned them, they didn't change it, and they got hacked, and tens of thousands of emails went out. And what happens is your IP address then gets blacklisted, emails won't get delivered, people can't see, Google will detect it, your website will be blocked, you'll have the red screen of death. And website security is a big thing for us. Some of our sites are, they're selling tens of thousands of dollars in a day in e-commerce. And so if they go down for 5 minutes, we have a major issue with that client. So, so security is a big thing. We have a dedicated server. So it's only my sites and my client sites on those servers. So, security is a big thing.
So
We actually.
platform, tool stack, SEO,
Yep.
security, integration.
And website maintenance. Yeah, absolutely massive. But I'll just circle back to, you've got to make sure you're future-proofing your business. So, the tools that are being used are easy to manage and edit, and they are WordPress. Now, it doesn't mean to say there's not a space for other platforms. Like if you're in the photography business, I'll go back to this WP usage, Squarespace, right? That was actually originally designed for the photography industry, and it's well suited to that industry.
Yeah.
The problem is because this does such a great graphical representation, we find actually a lot of builders are using it. It is a CMS, content managed system, but it's not as fully extendable and it's not as good to SEO. WordPress is stellar for SEO. You know, we've got tools like RankMath that when we're doing SEO on client site, this is how we achieve these results, you know, 325 keywords. And I just want to mention too, when we start working with a client, before we've even got accesses to anything, no passwords, anything, we do this benchmark test. So I could do a retrospective check on this, and I haven't in preparation for this call, maybe I should have, to have a look at how many keywords were ranking prior to us doing SEO with District 32, yeah. Because I know that has grown substantially. So, you know, we can't get bragging rights if we don't know where we started. So that's important to notice. And one thing we do is when we offboard a client, because the thing is we build websites and they get wooed by somebody else. It might be 3 years long and they get wooed by somebody else. They rebuild the website. And this is where I know of at least 8 instances in the last year or so where their SEO results have tanked. And we do an offboarding. When a client leaves, we just do an offboarding call and we send them the current results. So again, they've got that on file. So they can't, it can't be disputed later that, oh my goodness, look at this 3 months on. And it's a courtesy thing. It's not a, you know, anything other than a courtesy to let them know, because otherwise they wouldn't know. And then they can challenge the new service provider to, hey, my SEO results have tanked, do something about it. And they may well come back to us, maybe not, but at least they're informed, because to me, that's the right thing to do.
No, thank you very much.
Cool.
Peter, is there anything else you want to just add on there? Is that have we covered everything off we wanted to talk about? There's a lot in there.
So I've covered off on doing the benchmark. I think just to reframe, websites are never finished. I do have, and I can make this available for viewers, listeners, which is our Smarter Digital Success Blueprint. And this is our work in progress. You notice there's an arrow going around here and it goes around and back. And so this is everything that people need to consider and prepare for their website, regardless of the level it's at. You know, one of the things that I do in my 60-second presentation, you know, at D32 meetings is, you know, online brochure website, high-performing website. And some people say to me, well, I only need a website for due diligence, right? And, you know, so if they're vying for a contract or whatever, they need to have a website presence. And that's valid. But why would you not have engagement points? Why would you not want it to be a high-performing website? Yes, for due diligence, but have engagement points, have calls to action. Mm. Just makes sense. So that's one thing to consider in that scenario. So this is our work list for people to consider and prepare in building or rebuilding their website. So all of those elements, you know, connect, explain, persuade, the value exchange. People have come to your website for a reason. They're clearly interested in what you do. Yep. Why would you not want to try and get their details so you can then market to them forever? It just makes sense. These are all the considerations for the website component. I won't go through those. You'll all slip into a corner.
That's all right. It's great if you're going to share that with people, Peter. That would be fantastic.
Yep. And then CRM, like a CRM, and I know you're on the same page here. CRM is not negotiable. Like it's just crucial. We're all building a business machine and this forms a part of a business asset. You know, we're going to want to exit from our business at some point in time. Now that may be selling the business, getting it managed, you know, not becoming a part of operations, whatever that is. But a CRM can do so much in that regard. It just adds so much value to the business. And as far as digital marketing goes, there's different levels. And I think the biggest mistake people make is that they have their website go live, and it's almost like they sort of, okay, my website's live now, and they're sitting there waiting for the phone to ring. Well, it's not going to happen if you don't tell the world it exists. You need to let people know it exists, you know, and a part of that is SEO. But then, you know, you can do social media. I mean, SEO traditionally is search engine optimization. Well, I prefer to frame it as search everywhere optimization. Yes, Google is one source of traffic. So is YouTube. So is Facebook. So is Instagram. So is LinkedIn. And a lot of those are underdone. Or I find business owners doing social media, but not doing it exceptionally well. And it's almost like if their website's not up scratch and has call to action engagement points, and their social media is ordinary, it's like they're getting 6 out of 10 for their efforts. Well, we want to be getting 10 out of 10. And there's SEO. And then conversion rate optimization is where we have a look at the website, and we've identified websites where they had two primary call to action buttons right in the middle of the website. And one had five clicks, one had one click, but the contact us button got 25 clicks. But what was on, and that's great, it's got 25 clicks, but why? And what happened when people clicked on that page? And it wasn't the ideal customer journey. So we reframed that page, and then we renamed these buttons, and we actually got a boost in people clicking through to those buttons. The end result is after 3 months, we took one of those buttons off and had one primary call to action. And now we have, as an example of numbers, 100 visits to the website, and we've got something like a 25% conversion clicking on that button. So the client's getting a lot more conversions, and that's a part of conversion rate optimization. So this is why it's all a circle. You build it based on your understanding at the time. You need to take all these actions, and you need to monitor that and refine that so it turns into this machine. Make sense?
Yep, beautiful.
Cool.
Thank you.
So to close out, I'll just move that so people can get a full, detailed, comprehensive, jargon-free report with prioritized recommendations, right? And we measure everything that matters to the online success of your business. So this is a fantastic report. Now, there's no obligation to do work with us. If people want to take advantage of this and, you know, simply give it to their Webby, hey, I want you to consider this, that's okay. Now, why would I even consider doing that? Because there's actually, this is a manual thing. Some parts of it are automated, but there's a lot of it that's manual. So why would I do that? Well, if you don't give us the business, that's okay. But I would imagine people would hold us in high regard. And so then if they want something down the track, they might consider using us,
Right.
or they might know somebody else who needs help, and they will get a referral that way. So that's why we do that as an obligation-free audit.
No, beautiful. Thank you very much, Peter. And I'll put the links to that and the guide down below in the YouTube
Yeah, cool.
description there. But yeah, I just want to say thank you very much for going through that. There are so many things to consider just from even the technical side of things and the tool side of things. And then you've got the front end and the lead generation. It's such a it's its own complex little world as a website. And it's so important that we get it right because it can make or break a business, you know. And
Absolutely.
yeah, I'm very excited to be working with you, Peter, and for us finally to get it right.
Excellent. Thanks for the
Very
opportunity
excited.
on you. Thanks, Lorraine.
Right, bye, folks. Bye.
Excellent.
Bye.